Most churches start planning Easter by asking, how do we get more people in the room? But what if the better question is, how do we get heaven moving in their lives before they ever walk through the door? 5 weeks out, the issue is no longer identification, it's activation. Last week, you identified your four, you began fasting, you started interceding. Now the question becomes, what exactly are you releasing over them? Because vague prayer produces vague outcomes. Strategic intercession produces measurable breakthrough. Today, that's our topic of discussion, and it's all right here, right now, and only on the Five Gifts Podcast.
You're listening to the Five Gifts Podcast, a weekly show designed to equip leaders in the Spirit-filled church. I'm Bruce Ritter, and along with my co-host, Charles Russell, we offer insights for leading the local church in the fullest expression of Jesus. If you're interested in learning more about practical theology, the gifts of the Spirit, and spiritual disciplines, this is the show for you. Welcome to the Five Gifts Podcast. Welcome back to the Five Gifts Podcast. This is Season 3, Episode 9, and we're actually in Part 2 of a 5-episode strategic Easter planning series. I'm Bruce Ritter.
My name is Charles Russell, and we want to welcome you. So glad that you're here with us today. Bruce, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. Boy, it's just closer than we thought it was. I'm beginning to feel the Easter season on us, but excited to see what the Lord's going to do in our church, and believing for people to come to faith and find out the real meaning of the gospel. How
Absolutely.
About you?
Yeah, big amen to everything you just said. So we're working with a number of churches, and in our prayer, we're united in praying with them and for them and their communities, and just believing for a great harvest this year on Easter Sunday.
Yeah, you know, Charles, we talked about in episode 8 how we began to lay a foundation for Easter, and that Easter is such a big day for leaders and churches. And of course, we want to have a big day. We like to have Easter to be a win for us. But, you know, last week we emphasized that Easter is not one on Easter Sunday. It really is one in the 6 weeks of planning and prayer and preparation ahead of time. And so we began walking our listeners through identifying our evangelism core, how we mobilize them to name those four relational prospects, how to begin weekly fasting. And today we're going to talk about praying in six kingdom realities over each person. And so now we're moving from general intercession to targeted kingdom release. And that's where the Church Life Missional Model framework becomes operational. That's where apostolic leadership begins to build the system. That's where prophetic leadership begins to discern the spiritual gates and the activity of the Lord. That's where evangelistic leadership starts mobilizing our harvesters for engagement. That's where pastoral leadership sustains the important relational connection. And then teaching leadership is executing and equipping people with teaching that is precise and effective. So 5 weeks before Easter, we're going to shift from Lord bless them to something more focused.
You mean there's a deeper, more intentional prayer that we pray than just Lord bless them? We don't stop there. Well, let's talk about that. You know, every person comes to Christ through a point of felt need. Theologically, salvation addresses sin. Practically, people respond through pain. So the question that our evangelists need to be asking is simply this: where is the opening? Where is the opening? And so what are those points of entry, or as we're going to call them, where are the receptive gates into people's lives? These the four that each of your evangelists have identified, where are those receptive gates that the Holy Spirit wants to begin to access and begin to work and move in their life? And so in our evangelistic framework, again, we're going to talk about these six primary receptive gates in a person's life. These are not manipulative strategies, but they are discernment categories, all right? Entry points that the Spirit uses. So the first gate is identity and direction, dealing with people wrestling with who they are, with where they're going. The second gate is forgiveness and spiritual relationship. So things like conviction, shame, spiritual hunger that hasn't quite yet found language. The third gate, or the third entry point, would be healing and excuse me, let's start over. The third receptive gate would be healing and relational restoration. So marriage tension or family fractures, betrayal. A fourth gate is purpose and work meaning. So career dissatisfaction, vocational confusion, or the quiet dread of wasted potential. A fifth gate of receptivity is deliverance and freedom. So things like addiction, destructive patterns, things that people carry in private that are slowly hollowing them out. And finally, the sixth receptive gate is financial or resource need. So people that are struggling with provision anxiety, instability, crisis, these are all points of entry, these six gates of receptivity. So pastor, church leader, begin to instruct your evangelists to begin praying into all six gates initially. As they're fasting, as they're praying over their four, pray into all six gates initially. And then, this is important, listen. Listen. Because oftentimes the Holy Spirit will highlight one or two of those gates, and that's a sign to us to begin to focus our prayer on those one or two gates of receptivity that the Holy Spirit begins to identify and highlight for us. So what's happening here? What's taking place during this process? Well, this is prophetic leadership that's functioning inside of a strategic system. So think of John chapter 4, Jesus at the well with the Samaritan woman. He doesn't open with a theological argument. He moves towards her relational brokenness, toward her history of broken relationships, and that felt need now becomes the gateway to spiritual revelation. God frequently meets people at a felt need before he reveals ultimate truth. So again, our evangelists are simply learning to pray with that same kind of attentiveness.
Charles, you make a good point, and I think something that we want to remind our listeners is that this is about that conversation with God about lost people before we start talking to lost people about God. And I want to also say that it's not just the conversation of us and our focus of prayer and what we're saying to the Lord, what we're asking Him for, but there's also the dynamic of listening. And you mentioned we believe the Lord wants to surface a couple of those areas that he's wanting to work in the lives of people. And so as you pray, you want to stay sensitive to that. And so here's where that discipline becomes applicable. It's where it becomes essential, because this week, the people in your church that you're encouraging to take up the labor of the harvest, they're still not initiating those conversations as their first focus. They're blessing. They're quietly, strategically, and specifically in how they pray and how they begin to look at God's activity and usefulness through them in reaching out to lost people. So we call this a silent kingdom release, the release of kingdom blessings. And so we're going to be praying into some these areas that Charles mentioned that are really important. They're places of God's activity in the lives of people. So what we're saying is about 5 weeks before Easter, we want the people in our churches, we might call them the laborers, the harvesters, the evangelists, they're beginning to pray with a targeted precision. And the manner with which they pray is about releasing the clarity over people's futures. It's about asking God to heal marriages, to break addiction, to provide financial stability, to lift depression, to restore their sense of identity. And these are not generic requests. We want to show you, even in the scriptures, how important and how instructive this is in how we pray. And so these are what we might call ambassadorial declarations. You remember, 2 Corinthians 5 tells us that we are ambassadors for Christ. It's as though God is calling out through us to people, be reconciled to Him. So that's where we want to focus and get a, you might want to think of it as just a visual reminder that this is a level of operation. This is our level of partnership with the Holy Spirit. An ambassador is not someone that creates policy. They're carrying authority delegated them from a sovereign leader. And so our people in our churches, our harvesters, our evangelists, they're not trying to persuade people into the kingdom through cleverness or relational pressure. They're announcing and releasing what the King already intends for these individuals. And this is where fasting really sharpens the focus. This is the kind of praying you want to pair with fasting. When we're recommending maybe one meal a week to your laborers, if you're in spiritual leadership, I would encourage you to take a whole day and maybe bring a few people along with you that'll do that. But by and large, just ask people to pray about one meal a week for these next 4 to 5 weeks. And so this week, instead of praying all six gates broadly, use those fasting prayers toward those one or two gates that you sense the Holy Spirit highlighting. Remember, heaven often moves quietly before it moves publicly. And there are principles all throughout Scripture, the way Jesus mentions how when you see the plant beginning to emerge from the soil, it's first the blade, and then the head, and then the full grain in the head. And so there's a process to the work of the Holy Spirit in the lives of people. And again, it's something that we need to remember, that we're doing things in private. We're doing things in the secret place. It's that principle of Matthew 6, that what the Father sees us asking and fasting for in private, He's going to reward that openly. And so this week, we want to encourage you to really lean into that principle.
And that's truth you're delivering, Bruce. What a powerful statement you made. And look, friends, if you need to walk away from this episode with one truth, with kind of the Polaroid picture snapshot of what we're talking about, Bruce gave it to us. I just want to restate what you said, Bruce. You said that we are announcing and releasing what the King already intends for these individuals. God has a bright future. He already has a future, uniquely and specifically custom made for them. And before we ever have a conversation, we're already partnering. We're partnering in God's design. We are announcing and we're releasing in prayer and fasting what God already intends for these individuals. So I'm telling you, if you don't hear anything else, hear that nugget that Bruce mined for us, because that is worth its weight in gold. So look, I know what some leaders might be thinking. I'm a driven person, and sometimes I can focus on the task. It can become more important than the person, and I'm guilty of looking at Easter saying, all right, well, you know, spirituality is wonderful, but bottom line, I've got to get people in the seats. And so I hear you, leaders. I've asked these same questions, and I've probably pushed back in the same way before. So some leaders are probably asking right now, why not just invite them now? Do I really have to do all this fasting and praying? You know, why can't I just invite them now? Because here's the answer. It's because premature invitation can harden soil that is not yet softened. Let's talk about why sequencing is so important. I think we can all agree salvation is a process of Holy Spirit drawing. So theologically, again, no one comes unless the Father draws them. Strategically, that drawing often manifests through through circumstantial breakthrough, things like things that are shifting in a person's life that they just can't fully explain. So here's a picture of maybe a marriage begins to stabilize, or anxiety that's been constant, all of a sudden it begins to lift. A job opportunity appears. Maybe an addiction begins to loosen its grip. Then, you know, 2 or 3 weeks later, this person trusts says, hey, our church is doing something powerful for Easter. I'd love for you to sit with me. That now all of a sudden that invitation lands completely differently than it would have 5 weeks earlier. And why is that? Because heaven has already been active. The ground has already been worked. And so this church life missional model, strategic sequencing in practice, again, apostolic system, prophetic discernment, evangelistic mobilization, pastoral engagement, teaching integration, each of these layers builds on the one before it. And if you begin to run the numbers on this, if 15 evangelists are each praying with a focused intentionality over four individuals, that's 60 lives that are experiencing deliberate kingdom blessing simultaneously. And so now no longer are we hoping for harvest. What we are doing is intentionally cultivating receptivity at scale.
Charles, that's an excellent point. And I think that's the numbers I think people want to hear. We're mobilizing people to make a tangible, measurable impact. We're asking people to target four people and begin praying targeted prayers, precise prayers, kingdom releasing prayers over those lives, and to couple it with fasting. And so we're giving you some handles on how to approach this run up to Easter and how important it is. But let's talk about how it looks practically for your team of laborers and harvesters during the week. This week, gather your evangelistic core and begin to talk to them about these, we might call them the blessings of the kingdom, or these receptive gates through which God is usually working in a person's life. And then walk through each one and give them examples on how to pray and what to look for in a person's life, and also how to respond in a way that is eventually going to be that relational bridge. Again, what we're asking for is for heaven to move first. We're asking for the activity of the Lord, and we're trying to find our role in that. And so primarily we believe that's done, again, initially with prayer and fasting. So track what's happening. Begin to invite testimonies within your leadership circle, not just publicly, but among that core team, and help people begin to notice the movement in the four people in their lives, and begin to talk about those and share what they're beginning to see. Charles, you know, I think it's worth maybe working through some of these kingdom realities. So how about I call out some of them, and then maybe you'll take one and I'll take one, and we'll talk maybe some strategy, both how to pray and then how to begin to discern the activity of God in people's lives around these. Would that work?
Sure, yeah.
Okay. Just for everybody listening at home, I'm calling an audible on the podcast. So I think Charles is with me. But let's talk about the first reality. And that is, Charles, speak to this, that God created people.
Absolutely. He is the master creator. And He knit us, he designed us, he knit us, he formed us, he shaped us, he breathed life into us. He's all in. We are his creation. Scripture refers to us as the children of God, as the sons and daughters of God. And so God is all in. He created us to be in fellowship with him. And so God knows exactly who the harvest is. God knows who his lost sons and daughters are because he created them. And he has an eternal and everlasting love for his creation. I think that's a strong place to position ourselves and to posture ourselves in this, in fasting and in prayer, in evangelism, praying over these people who are God's creation. God doesn't create anything he doesn't value. And so there is an immense level of love and value God has toward all of his creation. Those of us who are found and those who still remain lost. And God is pursuing them. God is pursuing his creation. And so we're joining him in that pursuit. The absolute God has created the four that the Holy Spirit's helped us to identify. They are made in the image of God, the same as any of us are. And so there's tremendous value. God values them eternally. That's for sure.
I tell you, Charles, to hear you to emphasize that these are the people that we're praying for. They may not know God. They may not have any thought of having a relationship with God and no idea why Jesus really came. But what you're sharing on that, the fact that people are created in God's image, that he loves them, he wants relationship with them, that helps me as someone interceding. It helps me remember that before they were rebellious, before they were confused or distant or bound or maybe even agnostic, before any of that, they were designed.
Yeah.
Before any of that, they were made. Before any of that, God created them with a purpose. And so as I think about praying for them, I'm praying things like, Father, remind them they were created by you. Father God, restore the awareness that their life has meaning, that it's eternal. The second kingdom reality is that God desires to forgive them. I think one of the biggest barriers to reconciliation with Christ that people have is the whole idea of shame. That people often assume, they've gone too far, or somehow their past has disqualified them. But I've been taking our church through 2 Corinthians 5, and the whole idea is that, God is reconciling a lost world. He's reclaiming his family. And he's not counting their trespasses against them anymore. It's something that Christ has suffered for us. So, Charles, if you were praying that over maybe your four, what are some of the prayers that you would pray, this whole idea that God desires to forgive people?
Yeah, you really hit a big one there, Bruce, about shame, people having shame. I think there are other barriers, and so I know that personally I would pray, and I would teach my evangelists to pray, to prophetically pull down the barriers. Shame would be one. Shame, guilt, condemnation, all these things we heap on ourselves. Just begin to allow the Holy Spirit to pray through us the barriers that are that may be specific to one individual or to one family. Or to maybe collectively to the four, or it could be a harvest field in general that the church that Christ has called church to work in. But I would really begin, and I would do a lot of work there in barriers, asking Holy Spirit highlight what are the barriers that this group of people, or that this family, or this individual, what are the barriers that keep them from returning to you. I would spend a lot of time doing some heavy lifting on asking God to remove those barriers that people have to receiving the forgiveness of Christ.
Hmm. So the third kingdom reality we like to talk about is the fact that God wants to heal people. God wants to heal the four aspects of their lives that are broken. Brokenness is universal. So Charles, how would you talk about that with your evangelists?
Again, yeah, our God is a God who heals, and he wants to heal people physically. He wants to heal people spiritually, emotionally, relationally. I mean, you name it. God desires to move into our lives and bring healing and restoration to the broken things. So again, I would, this isn't hitting the easy button, but it's, to me, these are issues of discernment, again, of asking Holy Spirit, where is brokenness? Where are the needs of brokenness? Where are there pockets of dysfunction in this person's life or in this family or in this harvest field you've called our church, you've positioned our church to reach? What are the dysfunctions? Where are the breakdowns? And as Holy Spirit begins to reveal that, man, I'm telling you, I would move in there, and I would pray in that vein that God is highlighting. I got to go back to John 5:19 to me, which is a statement of alignment. Jesus says, I'm only going to do what I see my Father doing. How do we know what Jesus is doing? Holy Spirit always leads us to Jesus. And so Holy Spirit begins to illuminate brokenness in people or people groups, and we see Jesus working there, then we know God's already working. There's alignment in the Godhead. And so I'm partnering, I'm aligning myself, our church, our evangelist, with that, the active work of God in that place of harvest. And so, again, where brokenness is unearthed, where it's highlighted, man, I'm intentionally praying in those areas for that God will heal that.
And Charles, you're saying something that goes right into the whole idea that when it comes to how we begin to pray, that we're going to pretty soon find the Spirit prompting, the Holy Spirit working in those areas. And so as you make yourself available in prayer, you're going to make yourself available in ministry to people. And I can imagine that we have, you know, a lot of our people that are listening to us and our churches that we're trying to lead. They already have names of these people, and they know something about their lives, and probably on your list because you are aware this is a lost person and they've just got a terrible cancer diagnosis, or this is a lost person and they're dealing with a congenital defect that their child has just been diagnosed with, and that's real pain, and so as you begin to pray over them in the secret place. Let me also say that, you know, one of the patterns we see in Jesus is that when he sees the multitudes, he's moved with compassion by their need. And so that compassion is something I think he wants to flow through us. And what did Jesus do when he saw it? He didn't just teach, but he began to stretch out his hand and heal. He began to minister to those that were sick and afflicted and broken and suffering. And so I just want to say that there is that moment where what Jesus feels and does for people, he wants to equip us. In fact, that's the pattern in the Gospels, that when he sees that and he attends to it, he realizes and he begins to release that authority into other people that he's taught and trained. And so I would say, man, one of the things you want to look for in your four is not just the opportunity to pray for them, but the opportunity to pray for them and to maybe invite them into a moment of healing prayer. And never discount that the Lord oftentimes with the gospel wants to begin to work supernaturally on those felt needs. Mm-hmm. A lot of times those felt needs is what's blocking the pain, or what's blocking the receptivity rather to the gospel. It's the pain, it's that felt need that can be the larger problem in people's eyes, because it's so personal, it's so urgent and felt. Charles, what about this fourth kingdom reality that God intends freedom for people?
Yeah, well, you know, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty, and whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And I mean, I read that somewhere. I'm trying to put my finger on where I've heard that before, but somewhere. It was God. It was like in Scripture or something. And so, yeah, man, God wants us free. He wants us free. He wants us to live and have liberty and live in liberty. And so again, I'm going to go back to my standard answer here. I'm praying, Holy Spirit, where is bondage at? Where is there a binding? Where are the restrictions at? Where are people? Where are confinements? What are those? And then, man, once we understand what those are, or have a sense of what's confining people, we began to pray with boldness and with power and with the authority of Christ's name, that He would break those confinements and set His people free, that they could live and move and have their being in Him, and enjoy this life of freedom, this life of liberty that Christ wants to release us into. Again, that's not specific, but that's what Holy Spirit does. He highlights those areas of confinement and restriction, and then we begin to align ourselves with that and petition heaven to break the chains, break the confinements, and release these sons and daughters of God into freedom.
Amen. Well, a fifth kingdom reality we like to pray into is the fact that God designed people with purpose, and certainly, you know, with so many people not necessarily rejecting God outright, but they wander, they drift, they feel like life is somehow an accident in their case. And yet God's word tells us that He makes everything beautiful in its time, that He's put eternity in our hearts. And so that means that people instinctively search for meaning. And so prayer is a place to begin to intercede for them. I think prayer invites that search to awaken in people. I'm praying, Father, stir a purpose, a desire for purpose in their heart. God, let them sense that they were made for more, that they were made by You to have a sense of purpose and meaning in life. And I think that's a clear sign when it comes to the open doors to spiritual conversations, and when you begin to see people have a restlessness about their purpose and want to know, there's got to be more to life. I think that's a prime characteristic of someone that is ready for more spiritual conversations. Charles, one more. This last kingdom reality we're encouraging people to pray into is that God desires to be a provider. Talk to us a little bit about that one.
Yeah, he is Jehovah Jireh. He is our provider, and we understand that we are blessed because He blesses us. And so, we want to release blessing. We want to release the provisions of God on these people. Look, it's not that just because they're not in the kingdom of God, they're not yet in the family of God. You know. We don't want them blessed, man. We want people blessed, and so we began to pray. God bless them. God bring them into a place of obedience, so that You can bless them. Bring them into a place of alignment with Your word and alignment and in relationship with You, so that you will pour out Your blessings and bless them financially. Bless them with provision. Bless them with resource. Bless them in their area of lack. Just God, we ask You to release Your blessings on these individuals, on this harvest field. So we want to pray in the area of blessing over their lives.
Yeah, that's good. The truth is that God wants to be known as a provider, and it's deeper than a provider. He wants to be their father, and I think that's one of the means. He tells us when we pray to ask him daily for the bread that we need. Mm-hmm. And that's not because it's a hard thing for God to do. It's something that he wants us to, I think, recognize that just day to day, he's a provider. It's not just for the big ticket items, but he is a God that provides everything that we need. And that's certainly a way that God can work in someone's life. That's a way we release kingdom blessing. And I'll just add one more thing to that. Sometimes his provision is going to pass through our hands. And so I think we should be attentive, you know, when it comes to more of a servant evangelism approach, that sometimes it's doing that random act of kindness. Sometimes it's having the burden as we pray for someone to also maybe follow that prayer up with, okay, now, Lord, how would you use me in this? And you might be surprised what kind of prompting the Holy Spirit will do. So that's good. I'm glad we took time to talk about some of those specific manners of kingdom blessing. We are encouraging, again, we want heaven to move first, and we do that when we pray. Yeah. And so when people get a notice, yeah, go ahead, Charles.
If I can interject just quickly, just a practical, that's not an exercise, that's not a good word, but a practical implementation of what we're talking about, these kingdom realities. We talked about six of those. What if, Pastor, what if you gathered your evangelists, what if you gathered the entire church and just had a night of prayer, and you prayed these six kingdom realities over the harvest field that your church is called to work in? And you could set up, take a Sunday night, you know the routine and rhythm of your church. Take a night and have a night of prayer, but it's going to be evangelism focused. And set up six stations that you could divide the attenders into smaller teams. Teams of 5, 7, 10, I mean, whatever your attendance is that night. And each team would rotate through the six stations. And each station is one of these six kingdom realities we talk about. And so what if you took an hour to pray through those six rotations? You had 10 minutes at each rotation. Excuse me, I'm not having a spiritual fit over here. I feel like Mike Pence. A fly keeps landing on my head over here. So, excuse me. What if you?
It's probably from the pool behind you, Charles.
Yeah, that's what it is. I forgot to. I had to go spray some pesticides out there. Right? But what if you spent 10 minutes at each station? What if you spent each team spent 10 minutes praying each one of those six kingdom realities? You've got an hour of prayer. Let's just say, just for number's sake, you had 50 people that came and attended that prayer meeting. Well, guess what you have? You have 50 hours of intentional designated prayer over the harvest. Now, I'm telling you, that's powerful. That's powerful.
Yeah.
It's greater than a number. It's think of the synergy, think of the focus. That's hard to walk away from. Man, you walk away from a night of prayer, praying these six kingdom realities, and your church has collectively, you've invested 50 hours, or whatever the number is that shows up. You've invested that amount of hours into the harvest field. I think that could really assist and aid and benefit a lot of churches that may feel stuck working in their harvest field. Maybe give that a try during this process of evangelism we're talking about.
What a great practical step, Charles. You're talking about investing in the activity of heaven and asking, partnering with the Lord in these areas of movement. I love the stations idea and bringing lots of intercessory prayer, you know, that is led. It's not just something where we just open the prayer room and say, okay, people, come in here and pray. It's prayer that's being led. And I think that brings immeasurable discipleship to our people as they're learning how to pray and being taught how to pray for the lost people. And I'll tell you something else it does, Charles. It helps them take that conversation in the prayer room and begin to chart the activity of God in people's lives outside the prayer room as they begin to see spiritual openness begin to see that increase. And so I just think, again, you know, what we're saying is a systematic approach to prayer, to real intercession, can produce measurable breakthrough. And again, this is you as a leader helping your team see that pattern develop in that process. So fantastic stuff today.
Yeah, good deal. Well, hey, again, we want to thank everybody for tuning in, listening, watching, being a part of the conversation today. As we prepare to land the plane, let me leave you with a question that's worth sitting with this week. And it's this: if God is already moving in these people's lives, are you aligned? Are you aligned with where he's moving? Or are you trying to force a conversation he has not yet prepared? So strategic evangelism is not pressure, it is alignment. And with saying that, if you need help aligning your leadership systems with spirit-led evangelism, hey, look, we'd love to walk with you. You can connect with us at charlesrusselltraining.com, charlesrussellministries.com. Find Bruce at coachingcardia.com. We offer leadership consulting, spiritual life coaching for fivefold leaders who are building sustainable, spirit-driven ministry systems.
Hey, listen, next episode, we're going to move into weeks 4 and 3 back-to-back, initiating conversation and releasing acts of compassion. And these are just as important. Just a little difference in the sequence, but they're just as important as how we begin with prayer. So by then, your 4 have been identified. The gates of God's activity in their lives have been discerned, and heaven is moving. The soil is softer than you think. So let's keep up the good work. And until then, remember, don't rush the invitation. Start by first releasing the kingdom, and we'll see you next time, next week, on the 5 Gifts podcast. You've been listening to the 5 Gifts podcast. If you would like to take the next step as a spiritual leader, we invite you to visit either of our websites or contact us for leadership coaching. We can help you reach the next level in your own growth and leadership. We provide leadership, spiritual gift, and personality assessments to give you a better grasp of your leadership style. And we also create a customized growth plan that empowers you to reach your full kingdom potential. We can't wait to hear from you.